Podcasting 2.0 for August 16th, 2024, episode 189, all carrot and no stick. Hello, everybody. Welcome once again to the official board meeting. Yes, you are in the boardroom for Podcasting 2.0. What will we be talking about? Well, I'm sure there's something that's going on with the podcast industrial complex. We'll touch on it. But more importantly, we celebrate the freedom of all podcasters around the globe. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, the man who issues more licenses than the U.S. Game and Wildlife Agency. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one and only Mr. Dave Jones.
Freedom.
Freedom, baby. It's all about freedom.
Freedom.
That's Hello. What you do. That's what you yell when you're getting your guts cut out and set on fire.
Yeah, I have freedom. I have the actual. Where is?
Is this the Mel? Is this the ISO of Mel Gibson?
No, it's
freedom.
That's your vice president.
Yes.
Freedom.
Yes. Freedom.
It's Friday once again, everybody. That means it's time for the official board meeting of Podcasting 2.0. What is Podcasting 2.0? That is the question. Reset time.
Yes.
Reset time. Reset. No, reset time. Reset time for a second. Let's just reset time. Three and a half years ago, I called Dave and I said, Hey, man.
That's what you said. And I was like, what up, Cat?
What up? Groovy, baby. I said, hey, man, Apple's messing with their API, baby. They're taking stuff out. It's no good. We got to fix that.
And I was like, what's this jive?
And I said, man, them cats, they be screwing with our mojo. And
it's exact. I have the transcript. It was exactly like that.
I said, Dave, this is a guaranteed no money maker. Are you in, my brother?
And I said, yes.
I said, no, you went.
Sign me up.
And thus, podcastindex.org was created. And just a reminder, that's how this all started. We just wanted to have an open API accessible to anybody who wants to support podcasting in its truest form and nature. So
I'm gonna interrupt you for a second and do something that I never do.
The audience is riveted.
I'm going to read a donation at the beginning of the show.
Wow. This must be some donation.
I'm actually going to read two donations at the beginning of the
Not
show.
Not one, but two donations interrupting the flow.
This is a $20 donation through PayPal from somebody with a college.harvard.edu address.
Oh.
And he says, and that came in this week, he says, I'm using the API to perform a couple of thousand queries. Truly a lifesaver. Thank you. $20.
Beautiful. Thank you, Harvard. Thank you, Harvard person. Veritas.
And $10 from Deborah Hanrahan. She says, thanks for helping me find some obscure feeds.
Beautiful. Well, there you go. The idea was always to keep the original idea, RSS-based, podcasting, as was stewarded for a decade by Apple until they stewarded wrong. And we made an agreement. We said, hey, man, we'll just run this value for value. If people find any value in this thing we're doing here, they'll support us. And if not, then it'll go away.
And we'll go do something else.
Well, we're always doing something else, but... And then as a part of that, I said, wow, man, look at this. Yo, cat. Yo, Sly, look at this. Look at this lightning, Sly. Said that could be a nice backup if anybody decided to deplatform people from PayPal, which they were doing. And then
which they did within 6 months.
Yes.
Of starting this thing.
And then you said, Yo, bro, you need a namespace for that. And I went, namespace? As you wish, my brother. We created
a namespace.
Hit me with your best namespace. And then you put in a namespace and the value block was born. And then we sat back and we said, it's for freedom. And people came along
yes,
and went,
yes.
What are you guys? Are you far right? What is
we
wrong
said,
with
it's
you?
For freedom, and everybody came along and said, What Sphinx?
What Sphinx?
What does that mean?
What is Sphinx? Exactly. But what happened then was miraculous. It was really amazing. People came in and said, I got some ideas, guys. I got some ideas. I had some ideas brewing in the kitchen for 10 years. I want some chapters. I want some transcripts. I want some people tags. I want some geolocation tags. I got all kinds of ideas, man. And that became Podcasting 2.0. It is a community. It is not Adam. It is not Dave. It is not driven by anything other than a bunch of ragtag ragamuffins who showed up to the orchestra with a banjo and spoons.
You need an organ behind you.
I do. Who showed
ragamuffins.
Up with, that's right. Showed up with some spoons, some washboards, some banjos. Some guy had a fiddle. Let me hear it for the fiddle.
The jug, the guy, the boom.
And then people started saying, you need to market this. And we went, market what? We were here we were here for the API, baby. We're not here for the marketing. And it took off from there. And then, all of a sudden, we're trying to solve some of the world's biggest problems. When the only problem we ever wanted to solve was for that lonely podcaster who made a boo-boo and sent something that the Silicon Valley people would not like. And they took him away. By the way, look at what's happening in the UK now. Want to bet the podcasts are going to be deplatformed over there in the UK?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Yes. Has anyone checked the UK Apple iTunes podcast thingamabobby yet? So that's all. That's all that we ever wanted to do. We never wanted to do any more, any less. We didn't want to create anything additional. It was everybody else who came in and we said, hey, that's cool. That's cool, yo. We'll talk about it. We'll do a board meeting. That's it. And some people went and said, I'll market it. And it turns out turns out it's really hard. Really yes, hard. It is. Podcasting2.org is kind of stalled. So, and I was reminded of a couple things. So we are a ragtag bunch of ragamuffins.
Yeah, a rebel alliance.
A rebel. Well, we are the Minutemen of podcasting, and let me explain.
Minutemen, yes.
Let me explain. So we took a trip. We had watched this documentary called Monumental. It's from 2012. Kirk Cameron did it. Production value low. Ouch. Sorry.
Three out of ten.
Pre-autotune. Production value low, but it told the story of the ragtag group who came over on the Mayflower to the United States. And I had always heard the story, like, you know, a bunch of guys with funny hats and they had buckles on their shoes. They showed up and then they said, hey, we're here. And then killed all the Indians.
With germs.
Stole the land.
Yes.
And turns out it's a little different when you learn the true history. So we went to Plymouth, Massachusetts, which is best known for the Plymouth Rock. Mm-hmm. Plymouth Rock. And the Plymouth Rock. This is supposed to be the rock that the Mayflower, by the way, there's a Mayflower too. Man, you consider there were 102 passengers on that thing. It's like, that was no fun.
Tight.
For 66 days. It was very tight. With no windows, chickens, goats, everything on board. Very tight. No good.
66. Only beer to drink.
Well, whatever. They were living in tough conditions. And so they came ashore. And 95 years later, some dude went, I think it was that rock. That one. And they said, okay, cool. We'll put 1602 on it or 1620 on it. And we'll put it over here and we'll build the thing around it. But we don't really know if that was the rock. It wasn't the rock. It's a dumb rock. The rock is stupid.
A lot of that going on in Israel too. Hey, here's where Jesus did
this. Everywhere. Yeah. Everywhere. And would you like a t-shirt? Exactly.
Yeah. T-shirt.
So Plymouth itself is beautiful. The weather was 75 degrees. Could not have been prettier. You know, you see, yeah, hey, let's have a Sam Adams. Why not? Makes sense while we're here. But the real reason for our trip was something called the Monument to the Forefathers, which I've never been told about. Even Dvorak, the Book of Knowledge, Dvorak had never heard of it.
And now, when you say forefathers, are you saying F-O-U-R or F-O-R-E?
F-O-R-E, the forefathers.
Gotcha.
And this is, in a way, you know, the 12 rocks with the children of Israel, that the 12 rocks to remind them of the journey they made, the 12 stones.
I don't remember that. I just know that they put up altars everywhere about everything.
Right.
I mean, if Joseph sneezed, they built an altar, you know, to commemorate it.
Was it 12 rods? No. 12 rods. No, 12 rods is the band. Thanks, Boobery. Boobery, stop distracting me. The board room will settle down. Think Georgia Guidestone. You've all heard of the Georgia Guidestone, which says this horrible New World Order thing that says, you know, we don't need more than 500 million people and get rid of everybody and kill everybody. Okay. So this is really a monument that was, I think it's 60 or 70 feet tall. It is the largest single granite structure in America. Never heard of it. And it is, in effect, a guide to America. And
I've never heard of it either.
Oh, man, you have to look it up. So it has multiple. Okay. It's a statue of this woman standing with her finger pointed toward the sky. And her name, it's all engraved. Her name is Faith. And on the side, there's four sides to it. One is law. One is morality, one is education, and then the final one is liberty. And the liberty man is looking out over the harbor. And it gives an explanation of what America was comprised of.
National monument to the forefathers.
Yes. And
wow, that's big.
And it's right in right in a little residential area. There's no t-shirt stand. You can't buy a beer and ice cream. There's no ropes. There's hardly anybody there. It's very impressive. They started building it, I think, in 1850, completed in 1889. What might have been a war in between there. I might have stopped for a second. So really impressive. Then we decided we're going to drive up to Lexington Green. Are you familiar with Lexington Green?
I've heard the name.
Lexington Green in 1775 is where Reverend Clark had John Hancock and one of the other signers of the Declaration. It'll come to me in a moment. And they were kind of hiding out there because they were being hunted down by the British. And they were like getting ready because, you know, hey, man, we want to make this a country and we want to declare our independence from Britain. And this is where Paul Revere rode. The British are coming. The British are coming.
Yeah, the redcoats.
That's right. And so Reverend Clark had taught the congregation there how to load their muskets. And they went on the Lexington Green. And the British, there was 30 guys and 800 British soldiers show up.
Okay.
And they stood their ground. And the British went away. They said, you know what? We can't. We're not going to fight these guys. And I think 8 of them died. And it's a reminder. And it even has this huge mast with a big flag on top says birthplace of American liberty. And it reminded me that even with 30 people with muskets and, and half a bullet between them can stand up against the big powers that be. That, my friends, is podcasting 2.0. We are that ragtag group, and we can stand up against them, and they will eventually just go away. Or not. Doesn't matter. They will not get rid of us, is my point. They cannot get rid of us. They will not get rid of us. Now, of course, if we try to play their games, it's going to be a very disappointing journey, which is where I think sometimes we get stuck in. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to reiterate that we are here for liberty, the liberty of podcasting, the liberty for anyone to say what they want to say and for it to be available wherever you get your podcasts. That's it. That's all that we ever set out to do. And I think we're succeeding greatly. And I'm very proud of everybody for contributing. As it comes to podcasting 2.0 and what that is and what that means, it's up to you. And it's up to each individual podcaster to tell their audience how to support them, what podcast apps to use, how to listen. That's what it's about. There's nothing we can do to beat Apple or Spotify at the games they're playing because they're just playing their games. We are here to support the liberty of the podcasters who just want to podcast. If you want to,
everybody gets the podcasting 2.0 that they deserve.
Absolutely. And so when I hear carrots and sticks and all kinds of things, I'm like, can we just reset for a second what we are and what is going on here? Ah, what are you drinking?
Sam Adams.
Ah, Boston perfect. Lager. Nice. Very nice. You'll be so hammered by the end of the board meeting. So, we should probably just talk about this, this comment that was made. Do you, okay. You sent clips. Do these clips have anything to do with it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't you bring us up to speed on what is happening? Or what the big conversation was?
Evidently. So, Rob and Elsie over on the feed,
Libsyn podcast,
did a long segment about podcasting 2.0, on their show this week. And, you know, they've talked about it briefly, maybe once or twice before. And, you know, typically a sort of a negative take, which is fine. Everybody has their own opinion about things. But then they did a long segment about it this time. And I guess the way, I only pulled one clip because I think it just, honestly, it just was kind of the same thing over and over. So I just pulled sort of one an example clip that kind of sums up the whole thing. But before we get into that, here's what I'll do. I'm going to build a Rob sandwich. Okay.
Okay.
So the way you do it in show business, to my understanding, is you do what's called building a sandwich. When you critique somebody, you start out giving them the good. You say something good about them. Then you say the thing that's negative, and then you finish it up with something good, like, hey, Joe, great job on that line. I loved it.
We call that a shit sandwich. I don't know what
it's a great job. You really killed it in that scene. If only, next time, let's on this next take, let's try to just get a little bit more feeling in it. And by the way, hey, you look great. All right, let's go.
Okay.
So
you are so tactical.
Yes. So I'm going to build a sandwich. I have only interacted with Rob Walsh once in my whole life, and it was over email, and he asked us to take down a bunch of fraudulent feeds of Dan Carlin that got into the index.
Right.
And I responded and took them down within 5 minutes. That is my only time I've ever even spoken with him. So I'll say, I'll lay down the first slice of bread and say he's been at Libsyn forever. I'm being truthful here. I'm being honest with my feelings. Nobody stays in a position for that long without having had shown results.
Right.
So he's clearly good at his job.
Isn't he one of the original founders?
I thought that, but I don't know. So
I thought he was one of the,
I thought he was too, but I don't have confirmation of that. So,
okay.
But I mean, he's been there for a long, long time. And you, like I said, you don't stay there that long unless you know what you're doing and are able to show results. The other thing that I thought he was right about, so I listened to the whole thing, and if you just pull out clips of stuff, sometimes it's not, it doesn't give you a sense of the whole thing. So I listened to the whole episode, and he had something to say about making money in advertising and censorship and this kind of thing. And one point he made before they started really talking about 2.0 much is he said, there's an advertiser out there. I'm kind of paraphrasing. There's an advertiser out there for everyone. If you have, and he used the example of Joe Rogan, hey, you could use the example of, Call Her Daddy as well. Call Her Daddy is a nasty show. I mean, they talk about it's all nasty. Kinds of nasty stuff all the time.
Nasty, yes.
It's not exactly brand safe.
No.
Neither is a lot of stuff Rogan does is not brand safe. I mean, but there's tons of, quote, not brand safe shows that are doing just fine on advertising.
And now, can we recognize for a moment the OG advertisers, GoDaddy, Squarespace, and Fleshlight?
Yes, I like, yeah.
I haven't Fleshlight. Forgotten Fleshlight, yeah.
Forgot about that one. I mean, are you going to make, would you make as much as if you're brand safe? I mean, no, maybe not. But somebody's going to bite the apple. I mean, no matter how far down the rabbit hole you go. I mean, Alex Jones was not, he was doing pretty well.
He was his own advertiser. He was selling his own boner pills. It was great.
And seeds and gold. And I mean, somebody's
going to. Did quite well.
You might call it a podcast panage, you know, just you're out there foraging. So that's, you know, that's kind of one thing. And now the meat of the sandwich here, though, is something about us has seemed to annoy Rob from the first day that we've existed. I'm not sure exactly what it is or why, but it seems to have been there a long time. And listening to their discussions of 2.0, like, I guess the only thing that I can, the way I would sum it up is saying this. It's like listening to somebody describe your political candidate of choice and they get every single thing wrong. Like it was every tag that they discussed, every podcast namespace tag that they discussed was just completely wrong. Mm-hmm. The way they described it, you know, and that's, there's only one way that happens is if you have done no research
or if you're listening to MSNBC,
it's like you've just done no research. The spec, as written, the namespace spec, is intentionally written in plain English. It's not a bunch of tech jargon.
Right.
It's not a hard thing to understand those documents and the goals and methods behind each one. So, I mean, the only way you could be that dead wrong on everything is if you just literally done no research at all.
Right. And I agree. I also listen to it. I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, and so you can
IPA. Like,
Sam Adams Oktoberfest.
That's right. IPA. Yes, wit beer. Mm-hmm.
So that's I think just sort of like a way to bring us into this is that I think what they were doing is they've done no research at all on 2.0 and the actual way that any of it works.
Can I interrupt you for a second? I recall, did we not have a Zoom call with someone over at Libsyn at some point, you and I?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't we
with talk John to Gibbons?
And we said, hey, how can we help? How can we pitch in? What do you need? You know, is there anything?
Yeah.
And that's when he said, guys, look, you know, we're a little tight on budget. I think they were cutting some things. But 2024, I think you said, you know, we're going to hit it hard. Q1 2024.
Yep. We had that Zoom call with John Gibbons and their lead developer.
Mm-hmm. We said, hey, here we are. We are here.
Uh-huh. It may have been December of 2022. I think it's 22. And they said 23. We're going to do Podping. We're going to do this. They listed off a few things they were going to do, and they did none of it. You know, which is fine. It's a troubled company. Okay, and I don't mean that. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm just saying that it's obviously been a troubled company at the time. You know, they had those weird Chinese investors that were in jail.
Oh, no, the cap table must be a nightmare. I mean, financially, ownership structure, it must be very, very complicated.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was always like, hey, you know, you got bigger problems. You know, this is just not that big of a thing. So, but, you know, the description they gave of every tag was just wrong here. And the clip I pulled is a good example of this, them talking about, I think Let's see. Let me pull up my clips. Did I bring the
live item tag? Is what you
live mean? Item tag? Yeah, go ahead and play that.
What are other advantages to podcasting 2.0 standards? People can be notified that you are.
Hold on a second. This is. Let me just hear that again. I'll ring the bell and I'll explain later.
What are other advantages to podcasting 2.0 standards? People can be notified that you are streaming your show live. This is with a live item tag, and with a modern podcasting app that recognizes the live item tag, they will be notified that a show they are subscribed to has gone live. Mix that with the boostergrams and you've got almost instant feedback loop that happens during the show. And this allows your audience to partake in what you are creating. End quote.
It's a nice option, but there are so many other ways to notify your audience that you're going live. Most are sending out notifications from the live apps you're going to be live in. They all support that.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, so she read it perfectly, yeah. And Rob didn't understand it.
Yeah, they don't. Like, that's that. And it was that the whole time. It was describing a tag. Now, they were reading a letter that somebody had written in about a lot of different podcasting 2.0 tags. So they were sort of like going through them in every instance. It was a description of a tag, and then their commentary showed a complete misunderstanding of how that tag works. Mm-hmm. And in this, this is a good example, the live item tag, because the writer of the letter said you can be notified in the app when the show goes live. They don't have any understanding that the reason you're getting notified is because you're listening in the podcast app. They're still thinking that you get notified through some sort of push notification and then you switch over to YouTube. And so they don't understand that the live stream is in the feed,
right?
And the podcast app itself is, you right. can listen right there. So that's why you're getting notified of a live stream, just like you get notified by your podcast app of a new episode. Because you're listening there in the app, you're not having to switch to some other app. So they went into this complicated talk about, you know, well, we use email to notify people when we're going to go live, yeah. And we put in a link to our YouTube channel and all this kind of stuff. It's like this is a complete misunderstanding. And that was just that was my biggest beef with this whole thing, is that I don't mind anybody having a difference of opinion about the actual way that any of this works. You could look at this, you could look at any of the standards and say, any of the tags and say, okay, look, well, just like James is a good example. He has a couple of tags that he just doesn't like, you know, but he understands what the tags do, and his criticisms are from an actual accurate understanding of what they do. Not from just hearsay. And that's where you have a problem, is when you think, is when you're just listening and you don't fully understand, and then you just throw out a hot take, you end up completely getting it all wrong.
All right. And can I give my view on what's happening here?
Yeah, sure.
And I will give Rob a lot of grace. He's in a company that has been troubled for a long time. It's one of the original OG companies. In fact, I recall thinking, how do these guys do it? How can they, the bandwidth was so expensive at the time. Like how do they make it so cheap and so affordable? It was quite amazing. So this company has gone through, I've started companies. I've been owner. I've taken a company public. I've done acquisitions. All of it is pain. Particularly if you're public, whether you're a pink slip, OTC, NASDAQ, whatever it is, you have to report numbers. I mean, the company is the focus of the people in the company. It's so, I mean, when your stock is rising, everyone's like, yay, great. And when it's not, it's like, I'm underwater here. Everyone gets depressed. You see it throughout the hallways. You integrate a new company. People have to get fired. Things have to be put together. You know, it's all pain. It's very, very painful. And this is in general, just, you know, podcasting. Once you bring in the advertising into your walls, you know, you might as well just say, come on in, enemy. Come on in. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Run around here, devil. Run around here and just cause havoc everywhere. So there's that. And then, of course, there's really no, I mean, who is in charge? Who makes the call? Who says, yes, we're going to develop this? See Libsyn 5. I mean, I still don't think it's done. So there's a severe technical debt or there's some other stuff going on internally. Maybe it's just too many captains, not enough captains, no captain. You don't know. They're not communicating to the outside world. And Rob Walsh is sitting there doing podcaster relations, having had a podcasting organization. Probably the hardest job you can imagine is the person who has to talk to the podcasters every single day.
It's like help desk in IT.
Worse because it's all emotional.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah, I'm sorry. I can't say it's worse, but I think it is because it, you know, a technical thing you can solve. When it comes to an emotional thing, and why am I not making any money on ads? Why am I not prioritized? Why am I this? Why am I that? And it's all day long. You know, you have people who just need help. Like, so do I click the right mouse button? I mean, there's that. It's frustrating as well. So when you're dealing with that all day long, and then people come along and say, I want podcasting 2.0. Well, we don't have that. So you are going to, as a human being, when you're frustrated and things are going on inside the organization, I'm sure Rob would love nothing more than to be a part of the group and be hanging with Mr. Cooper and doing everything cool and contributing. But he is swamped. He's swamped in this world that he's living in, which, you know, people are jumping out of this or getting pushed out of. There's so much going on that we don't know. And it's very human, I think, to then say, well, you know, that stuff is really not, it doesn't work on Apple. Don't worry about it. Because you got these customers. They're your clients. Mm-hmm. They're saying, how come we're not getting anything? So then we get to the carrot and the stick thing. And I thought long and hard. I sent him an email, haven't heard back. And in fact, I think we should invite him on the show. I mean, if he feels like it, I'd love to talk to him about this on the show. The boardroom is the perfect place to talk about it. Yeah, but there was this continuous carrot and the stick. Well, these guys, if they would only use carrots instead of sticks. And to me, when I hear them talking about standards, it all goes back to the podcast standards group.
Yes.
And I don't believe they were involved. I don't think Libsyn either accepted the invitation. Maybe they weren't at the secret dinner because, you know, I don't think it was malicious. It's just like, well, you know, Rob, maybe someone forgot to ask him, whatever it was. I believe he felt excluded. Then you come up with certifications and badges and you got to be a part of it. And the minute that started to wane and become weak, which it is, and I appreciate that Sam Sethi stepped up, but I see no advancement. Then, you know, it's something that you go and beat. And I think that's what he was talking about. Oh, they all wanted to make this happen. They all were going to get together and we weren't a part of it. We weren't invited or whatever happened there. And there was the outreach was not done. And then and also because Libsyn doesn't seem to be very communicative, they couldn't really do anything for their internal struggles. And that's where I think that's coming from. But I don't think it's coming from anything else. And then, you know, it's easy to just, you know, be mad. He's mad. It's mad. I get it. I really do. I think that is what's happening. And let's be honest about it. We have, as a group, not done a good job with podcast standards group. We have not done a good job with marketing whatever this is. I mean, I'd love that Daniel J. Lewis stepped up and said, okay, I've told you I can do this. Podcasting2.org doesn't explain anything. For a listener, it's like, here's some apps. It doesn't tell you what it all is. I'm sorry, I don't think it's a very good marketing website, which I thought it was going to be, because this is hard stuff. It's hard. None of this is easy. There's no organization. There is no company. There's no cash flows throughout all of this. And along comes the incentives. So what really are the incentives for everybody? We, as I said in the beginning, you and I stepped in. Our incentive was freedom. That was the only incentive. No money, no prospect of money. Just let's do it because screw those guys. We know how to do this and we're going to do it.
And freedom is a strong incentive.
For us, yes. But most people, if you're developing an app, your incentive is not going to be helping out advertisers because you're not in the flow. Why did value for value payments work with Lightning? A, it was simple to do once we got APIs working. And two, there was an incentive. That incentive was I get a piece of the action. That's why it got implemented. And now we're in a holding pattern, although thank you, Oscar Mary says he's figured out his API issues and he's working on the secondary and tertiary payment mechanisms.
Yes, and
that will come back or you know whatever. I sure hope so. But we still are just a bunch of people trying to make something happen. And without we learned this early on, without the podcast hosting company supporting it, we're just farting in the wind.
Oh, yeah, it's irrelevant.
It's completely irrelevant. So kudos to Blueberry. Kudos to Buzzsprout, although they could do more. Kudos to Podhome, to RSS Blue, to RSS.com. Everyone has done versions that they can.
Red Circle.
And that they have cycles for. And we are so far ahead in phase 7 of the namespace where there's phase 1 things that I think still have not been implemented. So if anything needs to happen, and this is where Libsyn got left out, not purposely, not for by any fault of their own per se, because they just don't have the cycles to do it, I guess. Improving podcasting is a natural evolution, and it takes time for these things to materialize. Transcripts, I think, has been pretty successful. We took 3 years and we got something that Apple also supports. You know, then all of a sudden we have these big, you know, the 400-pound gorilla Spotify, who was trying to eat up everybody's hosting business. You know, is it possible that if we all said, let's make sure everybody except Spotify does all this stuff, maybe we can, you know, and if we could get Apple, I mean, this would be the dream, right? If Apple said, hey, we're going to be with you guys because we would love to have more features and we can go kill Spotify. That would be something they need to do. But they're not doing it because they got other things. They got Apple Intelligence. You know, Apple Intelligence says no. They got to do something else. So, you know, I'm perfectly happy with all of us just developing our apps, the apps and services that want to add this. It all comes back to the podcaster. 35% of people who listen to my podcast use modern podcast apps. And they love the features that it uses. That's the win to me. That's the win. And if we think that, you know, it all has to be some industry or everybody has to be on the same page, forget it. That's not how it works in distributed land. It's just not. But it doesn't mean that we can't continue to build and continue to move forward. And that I would love for Rob to be able to, if possible, to move his company, you know, or whatever he can within his company, to come more into where we're at. That would be fantastic. But when you create clubs and badges and and names and make it, which I'm also guilty of, you know, podcasting 2.0, it's almost exclusionary by definition, which was never the intent. But now I see, oh, well, then these people feel like they're not a part of the club. But everyone's welcome. We'd love for everybody to come in.
I think your instincts are probably pretty accurate on this. That I was thinking about the carrot and the stick, and I didn't pull that, but he just kept using this phrase over and over, more carrot, less stick, about 2.0 adoption. And, you know, I think they obviously love Marco from Overcast over there. They talked a lot about him at the beginning of their show, sort of gushing about Overcast and Marco and how great he is and that kind of thing. And Marco is also annoyed by 2.0. And so I think they probably picked up some of that as well from him. And I think you're right in that the origin of a lot of that stuff is from the Podcast Standards Project. I don't know this for a fact, because I don't have any firsthand knowledge. Because I mean, so let's go back to the beginning of the Podcast Standards Project is a hosting company initiative. We purposely stayed out of that because we wanted the freedom of not having to be, you know, in a some sort of bureaucratic. We just didn't want any of that, and so we wanted to be able to just build stuff, be crazy, test stuff. And then if the Podcast Standards Project people want to do something and create some sort of standard, that's their business. So we sort of stayed out of that. But immediately there was this confusion between the Podcast Standards Project and Podcasting 2.0 mm-hmm. project. And they were always confused as the same thing from the beginning. And I don't know this for a fact, but I feel like somebody involved with the Podcast Standards Project reached out to Marco to try to talk about, to try to get Overcast on board, because he was very interested in 2.0 features up until right about the time the Podcast Standards Project launched. And then all of a sudden he was just flipped, because he was on the forum saying, hey, I'm looking to do chapters, cloud chapters. I'm thinking about doing it this way. What do y'all recommend? I mean, there was communication going on. Mm-hmm. And then he had Overcast started the ActivityPub on podcastindex.social. There was interaction. And then as soon as the PSP started, that changed. And I think that something in the original, something in the original PSP incarnation pissed some people off. Because it immediately became something like, I remember Marcos, implying that he did not want people telling him what to do with his own app. And I think there was miscommunication in some way.
Dave, of course. No, I don't think there's anyone tried to do anything nefarious or or exclusionary. It just, what we have here is a basic lack of communication.
Yes, a failure to communicate.
Yes, of course. Of course. No one meant anything bad, but this is what happens. It's just how it goes.
But I think that is the origin of a lot of this carrot stick stuff. And I hate that is the case, because, I 100% guarantee it was not intentional, and it doesn't really have anything to do with us. 2.0 features have nothing to do with any sort of standard certification or anything like that. They're just not the same thing. And so you can jump on board and add, there's hundreds of thousands of feeds out there now that have 2.0 tags in them. And for an app developer to just ignore that, or a hosting company to ignore that, doesn't make any sense. It really doesn't, because you're
then you get into personalities, and I'm definitely someone who says, hey, drop that legacy app. Why would you deal with that? And with which I mean specifically Apple and Spotify. And when I say that, I always add because your favorite podcast may drop away. That's pointing towards the index, not towards anything else specifically. Because I know that 3 to 4 podcasts per day are deplatformed from Apple and from Spotify. And I find that to be a problem. And then you add to that are just the fact that we initially spoke about freedom of speech, which many within our group said, oh man, you got to tone that down. We did actually. We did because you want us to tone that down. That's a problem. We don't have to make money off of saying we're for freedom of speech. That's okay. But that was in that time period, if you recall, was a lot about COVID issues, COVID measures. Then brand safety came in, racism, Black Lives Matter. I mean, there's a division in the world that is much bigger than podcasting. And It's very difficult to then say, hey, we're just for anybody you want. And as long as it's within the law, you do whatever you want to do. And we don't care. We're just going to leave it. And as long as you're technically doing the right thing, then hallelujah, we'll put you in the index. We, you know, so submit it yourself. It's mm-hmm. all good to go. So there's a lot of that playing into it. You know, what side of the political spectrum are you on? Look, Marco used to support us with $500 a month. He stopped that 6 months ago, maybe.
Yeah, something like that.
I mean, I don't know if he still uses the index. I mean, I thought we had some synchronizing deal going on between his database and our database. I don't know if he does that anymore or not. I have no idea.
He still syncs with us, yeah.
Okay. Well, so he clearly didn't feel that there was enough value coming out of the index for him to support it, which is fine. Which is why we never made mention of it. It's okay, fine. If you know, that's good with me.
Mm-hmm. It's not a big deal.
No, not at all.
But you know, I think the freedom of speech thing is probably so one thing they talked about, and this is a constant source of confusion, is value for value is not Satoshis.
Correct.
It is not Bitcoin. It is not value for value. Two easy examples. Value for value. No agenda does not do Lightning payments.
Nope. Well, it receives Lightning payments, but if you look at the splits, you'll see that goes everywhere except to Adam Curry and John C. Dvorak.
Yeah, the hosts of the show do not accept Lightning payments.
No.
The value tag is for a different function. It's about privacy. Payment privacy and removing the middleman from the process, because you know it is as much as people may not agree with this. It's a politically hot topic, but the Canadian trucker thing was a clear example of getting in for political reasons, getting involved in the payment flow,
right?
Russia getting kicked off SWIFT. Mm-hmm. We see these politically motivated things getting involved and interrupting the flow of money, and Alex Jones getting deplatformed. And Todd Cochran says three or four episodes of podcasts a week are taken down by Spotify from Blueberry shows. These are being demonetized for largely political reasons or brand safety reasons. And if you look, like, so I was listening to America This Week last Friday, and Walter Kern, we had just talked about UID2 and, you know, the problems with that whole system. And so then right after that, I started listening to America This Week, and Walter Kern starts talking in this clip about marketing and sales technologies that eventually feed back into government.
What bothers me mostly is that all of these sales techniques, these marketing techniques and these information engineering techniques feed back into actual governance and law enforcement. And then they become part of the law enforcement and sort of security apparatus of the country. So what we're watching here is kind of like the, you know, the profane version, the marketing, electoral, you know, branding, getting somebody into office part. But what we're not seeing is that these same tools and these same people, in many cases, then go into government and start to use these things in an official capacity, a disciplinary capacity, sometimes a punitive capacity. And it's not just marketing anymore. It's running our lives.
Astute, to say the least.
Yeah. And so, we talked about this UID2 network. I mean, remember what this thing is. This is a UID2 is a marketing ID that is a hash derived from a piece of what they call DII, which is personal information, email address, phone number. And that will feed back, that gets distributed to all these, what they call operator nodes, And so you have a shared hash from your private identification identifying information that's getting passed around amongst all these ad marketing servers. So if you buy something on Amazon and then you listen to something on Spotify and then you post something on Twitter, these DSP servers that fulfill the ad placements, they're all going to know that it was you. Now, supposedly they don't, supposedly the DSP doesn't know who, quote, you are, because they're just have a hash. But every player in the market knows, because they have the actual, they're the ones that created the hash. So, you know, you can imagine Coder, like Coder Radio this week, Chris was talking about cars that now track your speed by default unless you opt out. You know, all of a sudden, so now that's another player in there that can, that could spin up a UID2 server and hash your email address, start feeding this stuff back in. All of a sudden, now you're getting ads for high risk car insurance on when you do Google searches. I mean, people who listen to thrash metal may have more car accidents. So what your Spotify playlist is determines what your insurance rates are. This is a system where everyone knows who you are because they've all hashed your email address, except the DSP serving the ads. Of course, government is going to subpoena these records as part of just standard procedure. It'll just become a standard part of the grab the phone, decrypt everything, get all the information, get your search history. This is just all going to be part of the same process. And this is the world that we live in. I mean, right now, you know, so the other guy, it's all, you know, it's always the other guy that you have to worry about. Think about 1988, you had Ronald Reagan. 20 years later, you have Obama. Things flip. And then you went to Trump, and then you went to Biden. Things flip very quickly. When you create technologies and you create systems and protocols that work a certain way, they have to be resilient to stand up to the worst possible person on the other side of your political ideas that you can imagine. And if they're not, you're doing it wrong. And so that's what we went into this whole thing with, is this idea that we're going to build these protocols where the feed itself and the app can communicate together. The listener and the podcaster have a direct relationship that doesn't depend on any third parties being trusted to, quote, do the right thing.
Amen.
Because if you ever put that, if that's in your flow chart where you have this person in the middle who you're going to trust to just be benevolent, you're doing it wrong.
I want to take it to another topic that is along with this. And I want to, I have a suggestion. So just as expected, Patreon became a problem this week.
Yeah.
Which supposedly Patreon is used by 40,000 podcasts, which, by the way, if you look at value for value payments being 20,000 or 22,000, whatever it is, not bad. Mm. And so now everybody's freaking out about, you know, because Patreon, yeah, podcast, sure. But it's used for all kinds of stuff. People's poetry, people's art projects, people's blog posts. It's used for many things. And they are now going to be subject to the Apple Store tax. I would like to make a proposal that the most important tag we can promote to, in fact, Apple, is the funding tag. Mm. And I am going to start promoting this very heavily on No Agenda, because as far as I know, almost every single one of the modern podcast apps, the ones that have namespace understanding, I think they all support funding.
Yes, and pretty broad, yeah.
And this would also immediately solve the entire Patreon problem for these apparent 40,000 podcasters. All you do is put your Patreon link in the funding tag, and Bob's your uncle. Ooh, timing is beautiful.
Boom.
Thank you, D's Laughs, who says, love the conversation. So right now on No Agenda, the funding tag, I'm going to tell everyone, hey, you want to help or you want to support us in your modern podcast app? Just hit that little money button up there. It'll take you right to our donation page. And from there, you can decide how you want to support us. I think this is a big problem solving tag. And think of all the different hosting companies who could be promoting this to a lot of people use Patreon. A lot. So instead of sending your people into an app where you're going to get penalized up to 30%, you can now send them off to Patreon or wherever you want to send them to your own Stripe Pay. You can get a Stripe account and have your own credit card system.
And I think that fits well with another misconception that was brought up in the Lipson show is you do not need in-app support for this to work. You just need a QR code. All you need is a link. Yep. So the funding tag could take you out, just like we saw at Bands. When I went to Bands at Bitcoin, I did not send those boosts through a podcast app. I sent all those donations by scanning the QR code that was up on the screen at the event, put in my message, typed in how much I wanted to send, and I did it that way. I didn't do it through the app itself. I could have for apps that support that. It's very convenient, but it's not required.
Right.
And so the funding tag could easily take you to a donation page of any type, Lightning, PayPal. Our show, the Boardroom, gets more donation money.
Yeah, from PayPal.
Every month from PayPal than we do from Lightning.
Let me double check and make sure let me see what's in our show info, owner info, support link.
Pretty sure it's still our PayPal link.
Yeah, it's still our PayPal link. Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly. So
there's just these misunderstandings and misdescriptions of the way these tags work. They don't help anything.
No.
They really don't. They don't help anybody. They don't help anything. I mean, I would say that if Lipson, it sounds like what they're doing is selling off some of their, you know, sort of extraneous businesses that they had picked up over the past few years, and they're concentrating back on their core hosting business. I feel like now is a great time for them to do these sorts of things, because when podcast hosting is your focus, the landscape has changed in the last few years. If features really matter, and the more you can put in there, the better. So, I mean, I don't think it makes any sense to sort of like jettison any features just because you don't understand. Just go read about them, see what they really and truly do. Get a podcast app and play with them with the features. And then you'll see that it's not the person tag is not iTunes author. They don't do the same. They're completely different. They don't do the same thing. And which is another misconception that they had. The idea that some of the podcast, I heard this a lot, that the podcasting 2.0 tags are reinventing things that already exist in the RSS feed. RSS 2.0.
Yeah, I heard that too. Yeah.
Where that happens. So let's discuss that for a second. Where there is overlap, we've discussed this before many times. Where there is overlap, it's for a couple of reasons. The first reason is that we are trying to add features to namespaces that do not have open governance. That would be iTunes,
right?
And things like the media RSS namespace, the Dublin Core RSS namespace. These are all namespaces that were invented many years ago, more than a decade ago and have long since had their, quote, governing bodies or the people who control them, they've gone away.
Yeah.
You can't modify those namespaces because the spec is frozen. And this is the world, again, that we came into with Podcasting 2.0. There was no podcast-specific namespace where the podcast industry, meaning the hosting companies, the apps, and the podcasters, and everybody involved could have a voice in creating and changing the spec in real time as a living document. Right. That's what we're doing. And so, because if you want to go back and make a modification to the way the iTunes namespace tag works, one of those tags, you can't. You can't change that.
Right.
It's Apple's discretion. They're the only ones that can change it, and they don't play ball. So we do things sometimes like the season tag. The podcast season tag is made to be perfectly backwards compatible with the iTunes season tag, except it adds another attribute for naming a season, because people asked us for that. Specifically, NPR asked us to build a tag that would do that specific thing. And we did.
Yep.
And that is something that you will not get from a proprietary namespace or a namespace that whose founding document is dead. You can't do it that way. So where there's overlap, it's for one of those two reasons. Either it's proprietary and you can't control it, or the governing body for it is long gone and it's frozen now. What we have now is the podcast namespace, known as Podcasting 2.0. And you can, as Libsyn or Pocket Casts or Buzzsprout or whoever, you can participate in the process, and true fans, anybody, you can participate in the process, propose pull requests, propose tags, do all that kind of stuff, and you can create the 2.0 that you want.
And everyone always seems to forget the podcasters. You know, podcasters who really care about what they're doing, really want to make it successful, need to understand it's not a radio show. It's not not just a YouTube thing. It's an interaction with your audience. No Agenda has just shy of 900,000 unique audience members per month, according to OP3, which is all I have to go on, and which I think is pretty good. I love looking at my top apps page. Apple Podcasts. And we're not even on Spotify. I refuse to sign a contract to have my feed featured somewhere. So we're not on Spotify. It didn't hurt us at all, by the way. 34% is Apple. Podverse is number two. Then Podcast Addict, Overcast, Podcast Guru, Pocket Cast, Fountain. 4.5% unknown Apple app. Then AntennaPod, CastBox. I guess we're in iHeartRadio, 1%. Woo. Castomatic, and it goes on and on. You know, there is no Spotify. And our measurement has always been, can I pay my rent? Oh, we had a good month, good shows. You know, that's successful podcasting. We're talking about the features that we have. Use the apps, please, that we recommend. People will do it. You know, no app can force itself on people. That's not how it works.
No. And we can't force any of our stuff on anybody.
No.
It's everybody's choice. There is no stick. There is absolutely no stick.
There's no stick, man.
It's just one giant carrot. That's all there is. There's no stick. There's no string. There's nothing there. I don't blame Marco. If I had gotten that call or that email from somebody wanting to like put a standard sticker on my app or something like that, I'd get pissed off too. Mm. I mean, I bristle at being told at somebody being told, like feeling like I'm being told what to do. I get it. You know, I get it. I hope that's not what happened. But that's the only thing I can think of. But the other side of this, let's talk about this though. The other side of this, who has a bigger stick? Us or right. Apple and Spotify.
Right.
I mean, their stick is huge.
They love sucking their stick.
I mean, they've got a tree trunk size stick that they're willing to, that they will hit anybody over the head with. They just up and say, you know, hey, here's what we're doing.
Yep.
You either get on board or you can, you know, go pound sand.
Yeah.
That's the stick. We don't have a stick. They do, you know, and I know there's personal stuff going on here as well. I mean, when you hear people like Dave Weiner and Leo Laporte, you know, pooping all over podcasting 2.0, those are personal issues.
Yeah.
They don't like, you know, they don't like you or me or both of us. Those are personal. They just don't say it out loud. And, you know, James said that Rob doesn't like him very much, and that may be the case there. So there may be some of this stuff may be personal, and I'm just going to leave that alone. And that's something that I don't want to get into, but I hope as far as, you know, as for my biggest concern is that people were turned off by the standards project talk, because that wasn't, I don't think anybody intended to make anybody upset.
No,
I really don't.
No, I don't think so.
I know everybody. We know everybody involved in the Podcast Standards Project. No, that was never the intent.
I think it was some people just thought, who made you the boss of podcasting?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And if you got a guy like Rob, who's been around for 20 years in podcasting, he's probably going to get pissed off, because he's like, hey, I've been here forever. You know, like, who are you? Like,
exactly.
Then nobody gave you the, you know, the ball. As so anyway,
Can I play a song?
Oh, wow. Are we there yet?
Yeah, man. Wow, we're okay. We're at buck eight. Yeah. Okay. Well,
jeez.
I scoured the universe known as the Valueverse, and which I love doing in the split kit before every show. And this was just like so bluesy. There's some great horn in this. There's a lot of like that. It's Kara Frazier. Boost it, everybody. Let them know you heard about it on 2.0. Darling, I'm holding on
to the days when we were young, when I was just a girl and you were the boy next door. Then you left this town to make something of yourself. Now fate brought you back around. But don't put me on the shelf.
Okay.
Fraser here in the boardroom. If you are listening to this, get a modern podcast app, figure out how to use some of those sweet, sweet Satoshis, or find her website, find her on Wavelake, whatever it is, support these artists. And this is really my final point on this. We did bands at Bitcoin. Thousands of dollars went to the artists who performed. I mean, Andy Rock and Roll Breakheart drove from Ohio to be there. Why? Because there were enough people there. There's enough people in the group, in the community, who want to show appreciation, who want to deliver value. When I do a Boostagram ball for a couple thousand people, I don't care if I'm number one on the charts or so. I don't care. I'm there because I love what I do. I love my truck. I love what I do. I love the fact that people can support these artists directly through the modern podcast apps. That's what it's about. The future of media is small. It's very, very small. We're going to see many streaming companies fold and go out of business because the ad-based model is not going to work for them. It's too expensive. You know, I see shows going and maybe small production houses going to their own systems, which are just their system for the people that appreciate them. We are in a very painful birthing process. But once you set your mind to it, like, it doesn't matter. We don't need to have streaming micropayments be the future of media. There is no future of media. It's small. Small. That's what it is.
We had a discussion. Like we talked about earlier, we had a call with the CEO of Libsyn and their lead developer, and I thought it went great.
Yeah, me too.
I hope we can have another call with them at some point in the future when they're ready. Because I still think it's just a great idea for them, and I think they're talented. You don't last this long in this industry without being talented. And I think they have a lot of, I think they just got stuck in a lot of bad situations over the years. And they seem like they're coming out of that, which is what I see. It seems like they survived all that, all that trouble and financial nonsense. And I think that now is probably a good time to reconnoiter and say, what are the features that our customers would like the most? And, I'm happy to jump on a call with them anytime. I hope we can.
Well, unfortunately, I think what most of their customers are looking for is the same. It's the same. I've been around. Same thing we went through with blogging. How do I make money with this? Yeah. That's the number one feature. And that's why they spent a lot of time, money, and effort, as do most people in the quote unquote industry, is how do we make advertising work? Well, guess what? There's too much inventory. Mm-hmm. You can make as much inventory as you want. It's irrelevant. It's a race to the bottom of CPMs. That's exactly what happened to banner ads. That's what happened to blogs. It's just going to keep happening over and over again until we wake up and say, oh, that's really not the way forward. It's just not.
So True Fans is putting their, I don't know if you saw Sam post about their ActivityPub server. They're about to launch that.
Yes.
That I'm really stoked about that.
By the way, just looking at our numbers, True Fans has popped up all of a sudden. Have you noticed that?
I haven't. I don't look at it. No,
because we get a daily email and it shows how many transactions each app has done in 2.0.
Good look.
Yeah. And I would say that many days True Fans wouldn't even be on there. Mm-hmm. So, I'm not sure. I think that they add 1%. I'm not sure. I believe so.
It's in the top five.
Yeah. All of a sudden True Fans is popping up. So something's happening over there. And I'm delighted. Cool. I'm delighted with the ActivityPub integration. It's great. It's a good idea.
Yeah, me too. And I think that it fits so well. I'm really eager to see what that looks like because I think that is a launch pad for cross app comments,
everything.
And, I still hope to at some point get time to write some code that will pull this stuff out, the stuff that's going on out of Noster, mm-hmm. and then bring it over to bridge all this stuff together so that we can, so that both sides of the coin can play nice with each other.
Yeah.
And I think that true fans is, I wonder if we need to create something, some open source lightweight server code that will allow apps to implement this. Basically do what TrueFans is doing with Activity Streams. Like, because essentially what they're doing is pushing out, like, as you do things in the app, they're creating an activity stream feed.
Yeah.
of actions you've taken, playing, you know, liking an episode, playing a episode, following a podcast. All of these things are actions that they can create a feed off of that is you, and you can disable it if you want to keep that stuff private.
The activity stream.
Yeah, and you can keep that stuff private if you want to, but you, if you make it public or not, you choose the visibility. That's how that works. Mm-hmm. You choose how visible it is. Well, I mean, if other apps want to do that and then they start, maybe we should write like an open source reference implementation for that sort of activity.
Mm. Okay.
Sort of like, or maybe it should be added into something like, what's Andrew Grummet's thing called? It's not the Wherever Player. It's,
Anywhere. Anywhere.audio.
Yeah, but what's his back end?
Oh, the proxy?
Yeah, the proxy. Well, I'm drawing a blank right now. Anyway,
Andrew's yelling at his, it's not anywhere. It's not anywhere.audio. It's something else. No, that's
the player.
No, but it's not. That's not it either. Oh, I feel stupid now.
I thought it was wherever, not anywhere.
Wherever?
But the proxy, I can't remember the name of it. Starts with a P.
Audio.
But like maybe it could be plugged into that or something. But I'm just, because what I'm just thinking is I would love to have like the shows
umbilical,
that I listen
to. Umbilical.
Umbilical. Thank you. Yes. That does not start with a P.
Nope. Not even close. I'll put it in the show notes.
Okay. So I would love, Castomatic's my daily driver. I would love for my Castomatic activity to just go into a feed somewhere, to go into my activity pub feed. I wouldn't mind that at all. I would love that. And then because that's kind of like that's freedom controller ish.
Yeah. Yes, it is. You're so right.
It is, because the idea always in freedom controller was as you're reading articles and saving articles, it's creating an RSS feed that other people can follow so that they can follow along with what you read.
Yeah.
And that's the way that the TrueFans activity works. And I would love to have that in my podcast app. And then, cause I find the history of what I do to be very valuable, because you're trying to remember something you listened to the other day.
Oh, you can go back see it. Yeah. This is my daily driver. Podcast Guru has I'm bringing it up now, has a couple of tabs, and one of them is playlists, and it also has a history, and there's all kinds of stuff there that I can, I was listening, and obviously it picks it right up where I'd left off listening. And yeah, it's very valuable, very valuable. And to be able to share that or have that in multiple places or flow through to something else. Totally agree.
Yeah. And I think that's, so I'm thinking about that. I'm kind of glad I didn't start working on the Noster bridge stuff yet, because now I kind of want to see what Sam did, what they built, and to be able to know exactly, like, I want to make it work well. And, in addition to Sam's always plowing forward with a million things, but I think Blueberry also, I got mad respect for Todd and the guys at Blueberry just taking arrows in the legs all the time. many hosts and apps, they take the safe approach.
Yeah.
Which there's nothing wrong with. I mean, they take a safer approach. But Blueberry and TrueFans are just slamming it. And sometimes they, you know, sometimes it's messy.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you know, Blueberry's getting a lot of, you know, they're getting, having trouble with their alternate enclosure stuff, but using YouTube, their YouTube alternate enclosure playground thing, but that they're trying new stuff.
By the way, Sam just boosted in, and truefans.social is live. And I actually just sent him a toot, Sam at truefans.social. I looked him up at podcastingnext.social. Sam Sethi, there it is. Shows it right there. Shows the four accounts, but you know, including his threads and his 2.0.
If you go to truefans.social, just in the web browser, what you get is hello world.
It works. It's all you need. It's all you need.
What was it? Sam at truefans.social?
Yeah, Sam at truefans.social. I did just want to, just to follow on the advertising thing. I mean, I have visions about things. And I want to point out one thing. Are you familiar with Tubi?
Yeah, the ad-supported movie thing.
Yeah, yep. Which I think has the largest catalog of old stuff available, which of course is much cheaper for them to maintain. I hear rumblings that they expect their ad revenue to drop by 50%.
Ooh.
50. And we've already seen this continuous race to the bottom because everybody now has, you know, we've gone from pay for streaming. Oh, gee, yeah, it's too expensive for people. Oh, gee, they just sign up and then quit after a month after they've binge watched everything they want to. Oh, gee, that's not working. Let's bring back ads. You mean like television? Yeah, like television. But now you have too many channels with unlimited inventory. Unlimited. Yeah. It's not 24 hours. In a day, no, it's unlimited. So there's no way to put in scarcity. So it's going the way of banner ads. I think the future... go ahead.
I think, just to add one real quick thing, I think there's a problem mentally with the advertiser as well. When you have unlimited inventory, you don't know what to even buy.
No. Well... there's a million dashboards and companies who will help you.
Yeah, I bet there is. I bet there is.
For me, the future of advertising-based income for media properties is going to go back to the brands. You're going to have the Dove Podcast Network, and they will hire and fire shows, and they'll do deals with those shows. You'll have the Kibble and Bits podcast network for dog food. You'll have, you know, probably the gold, you know, the Buy My Gold Coins podcast network. It's an obvious route. It's obvious. And you'll get all the numbers you need. You get to have control. You get to know what people are doing. You get to select who you want to be a part of. And you can, you know, very easily see who's performing or who's not performing. That seems like a logical next step for advertising-based media in general. It's, you know, the brands, Paramount, Disney, et cetera. That's long term. There is just no long term future for that. Even Disney can barely make it work, and they have the arguably the most valuable catalog in the world.
There was a let's see,
and then I have one other tip. Tip.
Yeah, go.
If you're going to start a podcast, I would say the biggest hole right now is geographic location. Do a podcast for your city. Do a podcast for your town. Do a podcast that is something in a geographic location, because that is no longer served by television, no longer served by radio, barely served by local newspapers. That's where you can win.
Let's see. This was a story from July 30th, and it's saying, and the point here is that the first party data, the providers of streaming television that have access to first party data are the ones that have generally the lowest CPMs.
Sure.
You know, which you would think would be the other way around. But it said, according to Advertising Insiders, Amazon's move into the video ad market has already forced rivals to lower their rates. One rival executive mentioned Amazon's vast supply of inventory has pressured prices lower. He said they knew what they were doing in terms of flipping everybody over into their tier. Mm-hmm. Amazon converted more than 200 million global subscribers to the advertising tier unless they opted out by paying for the premium ad-free service. This means the platform has one of the most massive audiences to attract advertisers. Netflix, on the other hand, has about 40 million on its ad tier. And so like they, it goes on to talk about how the CPMs, are basically lowest amongst those like Amazon and Netflix, which have the greatest access to the actual playing and streaming data. You know, they're not depending on third parties. And so this is, it's exactly opposite of what you would think it would be.
Yeah.
It says, yeah, the chief executive, Andy Jassy, believes Prime Video can be a large and profitable business on its own. So as the streaming wars progress, Amazon's move to convert its entire Prime Video subscriber base to a new ad supported version will be enough to increase market share in the ad space, driving down rates, which in turn crushes competition.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, it's race to the bottom.
Yes.
And the way you handle that is by going as broad, as fast as possible. You just have to kill everybody because the only way you're going to make money is by being the only player left.
Yeah. Yep. But okay. See y'all at Podcast Movement.
Yeah, that's the thing, you know, the stick carrot thing is, I think everybody with sticks is probably a Podcast Movement. The people who are not there probably don't have a very big stick.
No.
Do you want to talk about licenses real quick?
Yeah. I saw that you got that, fixed, added in the namespace, I believe.
So I think I'm almost done, but I need some help. I need people to look at this thing.
This is the value for value license?
Yes.
Yeah, remote item?
Well, it's the whole shebang.
Okay.
It's all the license restructuring. So we had the license tag, but it was just like a free for all with a whole humongous, like 1,000 license list that was this open source list that was maintained. So James had said, you know, he had complained about that bitterly a couple of times, saying that, you know, it's just too much. I mean, there's licenses that have nothing to do with podcasting anywhere in them that are in that huge SPDX list. And he was right. So what I've done is I've pared the list down. So there's now the original namespace, the namespace XML NS document it now links to a license subfolder in the repo with four files in it.
Okay.
One is just the overview, the podcast license specification that just describes how the tag works. The next file is a licenses.json file.
Mm-hmm.
This is meant to be ingested by platforms. So any hosting platform should be able to ingest this license and show it in like a drop down where you can pick what license you want.
Oh, yeah, apply. I see it. All rights reserved, Creative Commons. Yeah.
And then all rights reserved is there almost as a null value. Because if you don't do anything, what you get is all rights reserved. That's right. Just law.
Right.
But it's there anyway, as just, like I said, like a null value, as the default. And, so then you have Creative Commons. And then at the bottom, now you have podcast V for V license. That's what is new. And right. I also added a couple more properties. So each one of these entries in the JSON file has a few properties. It's got the name, the short name, the version of the license, a description, which is meant to just be a brief description of what the license's purpose is, whether this license allows for commercial use, and that's a Boolean. It can be either true or false.
Ah, yeah, good.
Whether it requires attribution, and that can be either true or false. or and whether it allows derivative works, and that's either true or false. And then there's a link to the actual text of the license.
Mm-hmm. So we have, was it five? One, two, three, four, five.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what's in there. So this is meant to be very much ingestible and parsable programmatically so that you can give, you can build a UI off of this. Then you have license slugs, which is just a quick sort, which is just the short names for each of the codes for each of the licenses. Again, which is you can use that to validate your XML because that's what's going to go into the license tag in the feed. And then finally, you have the V4V-4.0.md. That is
which is very value. Long.
It is very long. This is this is the license that Julie sent me.
Yeah, I'm good with. Let me just scan. Yep, looks good to me. It's like a EULA. Yeah, I agree to that. It's fine. Yeah,
agree.
Agree. Click agree. Yeah, it's good.
So here's the help I need. I need somebody who knows about formatting and layout of like legal documents to look at that value for value license and make sure, because what she sent me was marked. It said draft all over it in red ink. Mm-hmm. And so like I need somebody to check it out and make sure that it's formatted correctly, that it's laid out correctly, and that it doesn't have any just like crazy stuff in it.
What it does have, which I always love, is there's one paragraph in here, paragraph 15, limitations of liability. It's all caps. That always looks official, doesn't it?
Oh, where's this?
It's all caps. That's the, that's how it's supposed to be. Because that's the stuff you never read. All caps, you don't read it. That's why they put it in all caps. That's like, that's almost like a flag.
For any remedies.
Yeah, don't read this.
Except for any remedies that cannot be excluded or limited by law, neither party nor any affiliate will be liable under the...
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's the legalese that you never can understand.
Yeah. So somebody needs to look at that and give me a heads up on whether or not it's got horrible errors in it. Because I don't even know what I'm reading.
Yeah.
Does the JSON file work as I've structured it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Booleans and all that kind of thing. That, you know, somebody tell me if they think that that's not going to work or needs to be changed. Does the list have enough coverage? Like, is there an... there's five of the most common licenses from Creative Commons in there and from for Podcast V4V. Is there something I'm missing? Is there one that's obvious that I didn't put in? Those are the types of things I need to know. So if people want to help, check that out, give me feedback, and let's make sure that this thing looks good so that by the end of this week, I can hit the formalize and go.
Cool. Cool. I guess the next thing we need to work on is tags. Because I'm a little, I say this because I'm a little confused. Okay. I thought we were going to, or I thought at one point we said, hey, let's do freeform. Is freeform now no longer in play?
No, that's right. We're still doing that.
Oh, okay. Because I keep getting people pointing me to a list.
Well, that's the thing is there's going to be, the list is going to be, there's going to be a seed list for initially.
Ah, okay.
Off of a taxonomy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think Sam's got that right now. There's going to be an initial list based off of a taxonomy. Then we like that's then we'll, then it's just a free for all after that.
Okay.
And we'll see what's being used and then update the list in the future going forward, just to give like, you know, if thousands and thousands of people are using a particular tag and it's not in the list and it needs to be in the list.
Right. Got it.
So we'll just update the list.
Okay, cool. And then hopefully a lot of that will flow through to and from the activity pub.
Yeah. Yeah. You would hope so. They just become hashtags.
Nice.
Yeah. So, I think so. The license thing, and then we're going to boot authorization to phase 8. Key send address. Key send address. I need to finish. That's mostly finished. I just need to.
Yeah, there was some confusion over on the value for value Telegram group. I'm sure not everybody joins the boardroom every Friday, but yes, there is a proposal to add Lightning addresses as an option for sending value. And yes, it will work with splits, etc. And just to remind everybody, the reason behind it is so that apps who don't want to manage hubs, etc., or have their customers manage their own stuff, will just be able to use APIs such as those from initially Strike. In future, maybe Cash App or whatever other apps come online. So it's a very simple, I like Strike a lot. You can still, for the simple reason of it's just an API and you get your Strike wallet, you put dollars in there, you can send dollars. I still think we should, for newbies, it's better to be using dollars. I mean, we don't have to explain the whole Bitcoin thing. We don't have to. And moving forward, that seems to be, and we'll make room there, of course, for Bolt 12 when it comes along. So these are all just all options and everything else will be backwards compatible.
And, you know, Eric PP said, is key send address separate from the wallet stuff Oscar's working on? Yes. Yes, it is. So the key send address, is a spec change in the value block. And then what Oscar's working on is a demo web app of how OAuth integration from a podcast app to your Strike wallet would work.
And we didn't hear back from the, what's the outfit name? Zebedee. We didn't hear back from those guys. Never.
I haven't heard from them. The lady I talked to in Nashville, she said that she listens to the show. So I was hoping she would contact me because I never got an email from her, but holding out. Okay. Got my fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. Yes. Yeah. Shall we thank some people?
Yeah. Let's thank some people.
So as we mentioned at the top of the show, the whole Index project is value for value. If you get any value out of the services we provide for free, then support us. That'll keep it going for a long, long time. Everything stays within the Index LLC. Adam and Dave take nothing out of it. What are you doing? What are you throwing around there?
No, I'm shifting in my seat.
We did get a couple of boosts that we want to talk about that came in live. And of course, you can do that with a modern podcast app in many different places, podcastapps.com. Sam Sethi just boosted with 100 sats. If a podcast does not have a copyright in the feed, we, that would be True Fans, add a default year name and we add all rights reserved if no license.
Makes sense. So
that's the default, yes. Rove Ducks from Martin Lindeskog. Hyperlocal podcasts have become pretty popular in Scandinavia. Great suggestion, Adam. All the best. Ah, there you go. Hyperlocal. Yeah. I like it. 1776 from Martin Lindeskog, which is the Freedom Boost. I says, I started blogging in 2002 in order to spread better ideas, not to earn money, but I had some advertising with blog ads, pajamas media, and my own ad banner for sponsors I knew, liked, and trusted. My blogging got me in touch with other bloggers, and I have had freelance gigs as a guest blogger, forum moderator, etc. I am open for new opportunities. Best premises, Martin Lindeskog. We have Once Told Kyle, who boosted 777 for I Want to Be Your Woman. And he says, getting some Christina Aguilera vibes off of this one. Good song. Cole McCormick. Say what?
You were right. You were right. There was a lot of horn in that song.
Horn is beautiful.
Oh, my God. Woo! Listen to that horn.
Yeah, baby. It's good horn. Sam also just boosted again, another 1,000 sats. Oscar and I are meeting in London while everyone is in Washington to discuss working together using ActivityPub. Nice.
The nice. Unconference.
Yeah, the that's right, unconference. Then we have Cole McCormick, Rove Ducks, 2222. Wow, the song is incredible. This moment just brought a burst of inspiration for a new podcast. Wow. Ooh. All right, Cole. Whoa. Let us know about it. Oystein Berger, 777. Great song, great voice. Heard it on Podcasting 2.0. Thank you for boosting her. Deez Laughs, nice song, 123. 2112 from Martin Lindeskog. How do I update the funding tag? Is it at the dashboard on Captivate FM and podhome.fm? That would be good to have a donation page with several options, i.e. PayPal, Buy Me Coffee, Get Albie Lightning Address, etc. for my podcast. Yes, I have it in Sovereign Feeds, and you can add multiple blocks for multiple places. So I don't know about Captivate or the other ones. I would hope all of them have it. It seems like an easy one.
Let me do this. Let me check the apps page.
There you go. App page
on podcastindex.org.
I'll keep reading. 777 from D's Laughs. As long as I can pay my rent here in Toronto, I'll keep boosting. Ah, beautiful, brother. Thank you. Once told Kyle, another 777. Love how you guys always take the high road. Is there any other road, really, than the high road? 777 from D's Laughs. Love the conversation. Salty Crayon with 1111. Howdy, boardroom. If Oscar is listening, can he bring back Podcasting 2.0 boostergrams from other Podcasting 2 apps? I remember when doing the I Am Texas Slim podcast, we used to be able to see boostergrams from other apps inside the activity feed, and it did indeed show up what app it came from. In my opinion, that should help boost the signal on Fountain, where instead of Fountain only inside the perimeter of boostergrams. In the pipe, go podcasting. I think what happened there is they changed their back end, and you have to make sure that you are using the new BoostBot. I think it still works.
Okay.
So you add BoostBot, and then it will show up in the Fountain, their feed of boosts. Chad F, 1776. Thank you, Chad. You sent that twice, actually. There's another Martin Lindeskog. I have 2222. I have now sent boostergrams and stream stats with Podverse and Podcast Guru. I am now listening on the Podcast Index site as my phone, iPhone 6S Plus, had issues with the Wi-Fi connection. Next time I'll send a boostergram with the progressive web application True Fans. Martin Lindeskog, supporter of the Podcasting 2.0 initiative. You need a badge that says that. Love it.
Yes, yeah.
2100 from Macintosh. This week I was listening to a podcast that I only listened to off and on. It had 5 minutes and 50 seconds of ads to begin the show. It was maddening. A simple 30-second ask for V for V is so much more a carrot than that awful stick. here's Sam. 1,000 sats. Rob, I presume he means Rob Walsh, was invited, and he walked out of the meeting. And the Podcast Standards Project are meeting in Washington to decide if they want to put real money behind promoting podcasting 2.0 or not. I can't do my evangelist role with no marketing budget. Well, there you go. Thanks for the update. I wonder why Rob walked out of the meeting.
I don't know.
It's worth going up and say, hey, man, what's up? What's up? Can we invite him on the show? Is that a weird thing, Dave?
I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
We've had people that disagree with us on the show before. We had Brian Barletta on the show.
Yeah. And they're dead now.
Yeah. Brian's not dead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Just kidding, Brian.
At least I don't think he is.
No, I hope not. I hope not. 2100 from Macintosh. I listened to the Libsyn promo podcast early this week. Let me put the N. A say, well, let me put pull the NA saying from Bitcoin. I don't know what that is. Podcasting 2.0 doesn't Libsyn. Libsyn will need Podcasting 2.0 at some point. Don't sweat it. We really don't need Libsyn. And one day they will come around or they will die off. Go podcasting. I don't know. Maybe. It's I don't think it's a do or die thing. Nah. Don't. 2500 from Matt Podcasts. He says, and he's from boosting from True Fans. Yep. I find it funny that no credit is paid to Podcasting 2.0 by a group of insiders that bend the knee to closed source solutions while Apple showed them they are our biggest ally in adopting a Podcasting 2.0 standard via transcripts tag. Will any of them at least say thanks? Well, I don't know. I'm okay. I don't need to hear thanks. I'm good.
I've said it before. The podcast industry, podcasting was born in open source, but then quickly it became closed source, and it lived in that world for, you know,
a decade,
17 years.
Yeah. Longer even. Yes.
A long time. And then when we came along, it took a couple of years for people to in the podcasting world to become comfortable with the idea of releasing their ideas and their code in public. I think it was just something that had not, it's an ethos. It's an attitude. And I just don't think that was part of the conversation.
No.
And so now it's common. If there's anything I can hang our hat on that I think that we had an impact on, it more than just any sort of like spec or features, I think it's changing the culture and the conversation around open source within podcasting.
Yes.
I really think I think we did have an effect on that. And I think podcasting is better for it.
I hope so.
Cause I'm looking at the apps page, by the way. Captivate does support the funding tag. I'm looking at the apps page, podcastindex.org/apps. Just look at all. I mean, it is ridiculous how many True Fans, Cast Garden, Blueberry, PowerPress, PodHome, Sovereign Feeds, Podverse, Podcast Guru, RSS Blue, RSS.com, Fountain, Castapod, Captivate, Once Told, Podcast Mirror, PeerTube, PodFriend, JustCast, Steno.fm, LN Beats, Podcast Addict, CurioCaster, SplitKit, Transistor, Dystopia, Vodeo, Music Side Project, Buzzsprout, Podcast Chapters, My Web Blog, Podpage, Podcast AI, MP.Money, Castomatic, Fireside, Podigy, Seriously Simple Podcasting, Metacast, Caproni, PodStation, Breeze, Anytime Podcast Player, PodLP, Red Circle, PodcastPage.io, Alidu, PinePods, Castos, PodLove, ThreeSpeak, IPFS Podcasting, Sphinx, AntennaPod, Ivy.fm, TSACDOP, HubHopper, Pod News, Boost CLI, Focus Podcast, iCatcher, Pocket Cast, Odyssey, Libsyn has locked and transcript tags, Hypercatcher, Pod News Directory, PodServe, Plink, Pod Browser, Value for Value Calculator. I mean, it just keeps going and going and going. Yeah. There's a million people. I mean, this is not just a tiny thing anymore. I mean, you really have to. I think this is what Todd was saying on New Media Show this week. Is you sort of have to decide what you're going to do at this point.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun in this sandbox. And we share our toys. You can use my shovel. My bucket.
Talk a truck.
8888 from Once Told Kyle. Riding the lightning as you guys fist your nuts and teach American history. I'm 5 episodes in on my V4V music podcast, Flownar, with a G, Flowgnar, and having fun making mountain biking soundtracks. Meanwhile, have a great weekend. Get yourselves out into the backcountry and F that sinking ship called the SS Libsyn.
Yikes.
Now.
Settle down.
Now. Go podcasting. And another Martin Lindis Coke. Dave, cheers. Enjoy your Sam Adams beer. Great sandwich illustration. Adam, have you visited Berkeley Plantation? History of the First Thanksgiving in Virginia. No, I haven't. It's on the list now, though. Liberty Boost, 1776. Satoshi's Best Premises. Martin Lindis Coke, podcaster since 2006. 1776 from Chad F. 7777 from Chad F. Let's lift those spirits. I played a real bummer song. In the pre-show.
Yeah, the suicides.
Yeah. 11,111 from Martin Lindis Coke, this time from Podverse. Podcasting 2.0 sticks. I like carrots. Listen to episode 247 of the Feed Podcast by Elsie and Rob. I'm glad that they read Brian's email. Go podcasting. Martin Lindis Coke using Podverse. And thank you to Dreb Scott for the 4567, the Boosty McBoost boost test, making sure it all worked, and it did indeed. And I've hit the delimiter. Dave, who do you have on your list?
Let's see. We have got, I read the one-offs. So we've got, let me flip here. We've got some boostergrams. We've got Gene Bean, 2222 through Castomatic. He says, pure curiosity, Dave, how come you shuttled a clip to Adam instead of playing it yourself through the Rodecaster?
Well, that's a good question.
Well, yeah, but here's the issue. Linux, I'm on Ubuntu as my desktop for my podcast rig, and Linux does not recognize both inputs from the Rodecaster.
If I can say something about that for a moment. But I had so Dvorak sent me a link to a YouTube video, and he says, did you know this was going on? I say, yeah, since 2015. Then what it was is Apple is deprecating their Lightning. I think it's called Lightning. Was that their cable? Their Lightning.
Yeah, the Lightning cable.
Yeah, so they're deprecating that support, which they're taking the code out of their drivers in the new in their newest operating system. And what it's done is it's really screwing up a lot of studio people who have bought gear based upon Lightning support, which I guess is supposed to work with Thunderbolt, but Apple is just saying, nope, no more. Software, all kinds of things. And I said, well, I switched from, I was a Mac guy since my Apple II. So I've been an Apple guy for all my life. And then they started screwing around with USB and their USB wasn't working right. And I saw the writing on the wall. I said, they don't really care. That was the same time they came out with Final Cut Pro X, which was a nightmare coming from 7 to 9. They completely changed the interface and it made it just like, what have you done here? And so you either had to work with deprecated OSs, go ahead and buy a new Mac and deprecate it down to an older OS. It's lots of fun. Some people are trying to hack the drivers, and I hate to say it, but this is what we do not have drivers for high end gear on Linux. And it's because there's collusion of planned obsolescence between companies like Apple and the software and hardware companies. They want people to continuously upgrade, and it's built in obsolescence. And they just will not, if they made any company that makes drivers available for Linux, I suggest they will win. Because, man, I would be on Linux in a heartbeat. Like, oh, okay, bye, Windows. But they won't do it because it's built into their business model at this point. And so we basically all get screwed. And I just don't think we're ever going to see Linux drivers for modern devices ever. They just won't do it. They're too closely tied in to all these other companies.
And it does not work. I mean, I've gone down the rabbit hole of audio forums where people are trying to, they're like, okay, get in here and edit this config file this. And it's like, oh, you need to switch to, to ALSA or whatever, or Jack.
Okay. It's Dave at podcastindex.org. No, email him with all your solutions, because I've been down this hole many times and people keep emailing me. I had no problem. You have no idea what you're talking about. It doesn't work.
I've tried it all. I've spent hours on this thing. And the only reason I don't switch it to Windows on this rig is because it's running my Lightning node.
Yeah.
And I love the Ubuntu interface. I love the desktop. So, and I'm comfortable in Linux. So I don't know. I'm willing to offload my work to Adam to keep my own comfort.
And Adam is willing to take on your load. God, I'm 15. I can't help it.
More horn. Kyron from the Mere Mortals podcast, 2222 through Fountain, says, this is why I advocate for multiple nodes for redundancy. I can get my boost data from Fountain, Satoshi's.stream, and Albi. No boosts will be lost on my watch.
He's the Minuteman.
Comic strip. Oh, wait. Let me make sure. Did we miss the?
That was the delimiter.
Oh, did you get Sir Bill's 10,000 sats boosting that sweet sequel talk?
I did not.
Well, Sir Bill boosted 10,000 sats and said boosting that sweet sequel talk.
Nice.
He said Gene Bean 2222. He says, I agree with on the UID2 stuff, but thought it would be worth mentioning that there is actually quite a bit of attribution in TV ads like the Visa one during the Olympics, thanks to smart TVs and set-top boxes. In many cases, you and your neighbor will get a different ad because of this stuff. It's seriously creepy.
Oh, you have no idea. I mean, when you have someone visiting your home, if they connect to your Wi-Fi network, it's great. because then all of the things that you're doing on YouTube and Facebook all connect. All of a sudden, if you're not friends with that person, they'll pop up as a friend potential, even proximity between people always say, "Oh, they're listening to my phone." No, no. You were talking to your girlfriend about handbags and she's been looking at handbags and then your phones got close together and then there are advertising companies that you can go to and they'll give you this full spectrum. And it will determine what ads you're seeing on television. Roku is amazing at this. I mean, go ahead and put a network sniffer on your Roku and pick up the remote. The minute you pick up the remote, it's sending off all kinds of data somewhere.
We got a live one.
Yeah, that's right.
He's doing some.
It's like political ads. I mean, the biggest mistake you can make of text messages that are political is saying stop. Because the minute you say stop, you get five more messages from different phone numbers. It's the worst. Don't ever click on one of those links either. That's horrible.
And that's like, don't ever click the unsubscribe link on the bottom of a spam mail.
Exactly.
Because they use that to determine whether you actually have a live account or not.
If you're alive, yeah. If you're a human, oh, well, I didn't want this one. I'll send him that one. Yep. It's the worst. Yes, yes. That's your attribution. It's everywhere. And now your car. You know, your car will, your car is sending, Ford, I think, is known now that it's sending off your driving habits. So that winds up somewhere and your insurance rates go up.
Not my Ford.
I know. I'm very, very jealous of your Ford. Your Ford is great. Not great on the air conditioning or the sound system, but otherwise,
it's not great.
It's private.
I'm very private as I sweat my balls off in the Alabama heat.
With your 8-track.
Yeah. No, there is no radio at all. Wow, it is uncut.
Yeah. Ooh, uncut. Uncut, baby.
Sir Brian of London, 11-9-48, through Castomatic, he says, "You don't waste no time at all. Don't hear the bell, but you answer the call. It comes to you as to us all. Yeah, we're just waiting for the hammer to fall. Yeah."
Yo, he made a rhyme or two. Very nice. Cool cat, that Brian of London.
And the Commissary Blogger Delimiter, 26,000 sats through Fountain. He says, "Howdy, Dave and Adam. I'd like to recommend another great podcast about podcasting. The Podmaster. Use no space between pod and master to find in apps. Or take from URL www.podmastery.co, .co, not .com, .. Quote, "I'm the Podmaster, here to help you with podcasting growth advice and insights, whether you're a brand or an individual who's looking to grow your podcast and attain Podmastery. My name is Neil Veglio, and I've been in the podcasting game since 2001, end quote, yo, CSB.
2001. Oh, okay. That's interesting.
That's
that we didn't have the name podcasting.
It's
well,
he was in the room with you and Dave Weiner.
Well, the enclosure existed. That's for sure.
When did the enclosure come? Was that 2001?
2000.
2000. Okay.
Yeah.
Became an early adopter. He jumped on board.
He did. He did. All right. Nice.
Sweet.
Any monthlies?
We got some monthlies. We got, by the way, Dreb Scott, thank you, Brother Dreb, sent me personally to my Strike account 82,023 sats. And he says,
wow,
for your audiobook project.
Oh, how sweet.
Yes, thank you.
That's Sir what, Dreb. $100? Bucks? That's beautiful.
Is that $100?
82,000?
Uh huh.
That's a lot of sats, brother.
Oh, it's a lot of sats, yes.
Yeah, that's great.
Thank you, Dreb.
It's 50 bucks. I think it's 50 bucks.
50 bucks.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, that'll cover my hosting costs because I was saying how I didn't know I was going to pay for all the hosting costs. Thank you. Terry Keller, $5. Chris Cowan, $5. Silicone Florist, $10. Derek J. Visker, the best name in podcasting, $21. Damon Kasajak, $15. Paul Saltzman, hey, Paul, $22.22. Yaron Rosenstein, $1. Jeremy Gerds, $5. Michael Hall, $5.50. New Media Productions, that's Todd and Rob, $30. Thank you, Todd and Rob. And Timothy Voice, $10. And that's our group.
Thank you all so much for supporting us. It's highly appreciated. You're supporting really the podcastindex.org, podcastindex.social. And of course, you are always motivating us to talk more about podcasting on this weekly podcast. Everything stays on the node. If you need a channel, hit me up. Happy to open one for you. Everything stays in the bank account, which we use to keep this thing going for as long as we can. If it's of any value to you, send some value back. Time, talent, treasure, we accept it all. Podcastindex.org. Use a modern podcast app to boost us. We love that. The more you boost, the higher we are in those Fountain Top 10 charts, which I like because it's another marketing opportunity. People see that. Like, hey, look at those guys. I wonder what that podcast is. Of course, there's a big red donate button there, which takes you right to our PayPal. Or in the modern podcast app, look for that little dollar sign or some other value funding tag button. It's different on every single one of them. I think we need a universal button for that.
I think we need a t-shirt in the No Agenda shop that says Podcasting 2.0, all carrot, no stick.
Yeah, now you're talking. you can hit that. It'll take you right to the PayPal page as well. And thank you all so much. Thank you, Boardroom. Good to see you here. Hello, Sir TJ the Raffle just entered.
Sup?
Yeah, sup, bro. And thank you, everybody who has been a part of this today and a part of the project. Brother Dave, have yourself a great weekend, my friend.
You too. I got two Boston butts on the smoker right now. We're going to chow down today.
Yeah, chowing down is the best part of the weekend. We'll be back next Friday with another board meeting of Podcasting 2.0. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Podcasts are cool.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
It's for freedom!